This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hamilton's Hay Auction will be taking place again this Saturday. I spoke with Mike Hamilton for a preview of what will be available at this weekend's auction.
Well, Angela, so far we've got quite a bit of hay in. Charlie's been unloading for the last 2 days. We've got two semi-loads of 3x3s of first crop alfalfa. It worked for dairies. It's testing 145 on the relative feed value, and the protein's 23-24%. Really nice hay. Got a load of prairie hay. We've got 68 round bales of real nice alfalfa orchard grass. Got a lot of round bales. Got some straw and round bales. And so far, we've got around 1,000 small squares, and I'm expecting to end up with between 2,500 and 3,000 small squares for tomorrow. So we should have another large sale tomorrow.
All right, sounds great. Especially sounds like a great chance for dairy producers to come out and get some hay for their cattle.
Yeah, it would work great. Like I say, if a guy had, you know, milk cows or even horse hay, it would work for either one of them. It's really nice hay.
All right, sounds great. If anyone has any questions, how can they get a hold of you?
They can reach me on my cell phone at 618-410-4293.
Again, that was Mike Hamilton of Hamilton's Hay Auction. CHS and Shipman is hosting a charity event in Gillespie tomorrow. I spoke with Bart Baker of CHS to find out more.
CHS has a Harvest for Hunger program, and it's our way of helping give back to the local communities that we're a part of. This Saturday, we're having a biscuits and gravy breakfast on Saturday morning at the Gillespie Civic Center, and there'll be dine-in and as well as takeouts there. It's a great opportunity to donate some back to the community.
Definitely sounds like it. And you guys have a pretty ambitious goal. Can you go over how much you guys are hoping to raise?
Well, last year we raised a little over $12,000 that went to 8 local food pantries along with the regional food bank. And our goal this year is to be over $15,000.
Wow, that sounds like it could really go to help a lot of the pantries around here.
Yes, it can. And I want to emphasize that this isn't just a CHS event or an event for CHS customers. This is an event for all of our community members. And, this covers the entire territory that we do business in. And it's a great opportunity to anyone to help with this great project, as well as to, have a great breakfast on Saturday morning.
Now, it sounds like kind of an odd name for a breakfast event, Harvest for Hunger, especially since it's closer to planting season than to harvest season. Can you go into why it's called Harvest for Hunger?
Well, CHS, the Country Operations Division that we're part of, has grain elevators in many, many states across the Midwest and the Pacific Northwest and their upper Midwest. And, I think it starts with on the grain side and, the person from CHS that promotes the entire program, he works in the grain part of the company, and I think he always thanks Harvest. So I believe that's how the name or how the project took that name.
And are you guys hoping to keep doing this year after year?
The Harvest for Hunger program, I'm not sure exactly when it started, but several years ago, and it's definitely grown a lot each year, and it's been a wonderful way for CHS to give back to the communities that we do business in. And I know it's been a wonderful project for CHS Shipment. This is our second year of the project, and I'm sure we'll continue to support the project for many years ahead.
And after everyone comes and gives their money for this breakfast, all of the money goes and is distributed to local food pantries?
That's correct. Either local food pantries, and then we have a corporate match that allows us to give some to the regional food bank also.
All right. Well, it sounds like a great program. Is there anything else you want to cover before we go here?
Well, one last thing with the Harvest for Hunger. With this opportunity, you could, we're encouraging our the community members to come to the breakfast. They're able to donate canned goods to the Harvest for Hunger program or donate cash there. It's a wonderful cause. It's a great opportunity. And with a corporate match, we're able to get more than dollar for dollar, on the program. So it's a great opportunity. CHS, we're definitely looking forward to the spring season coming up and a tremendous opportunity this year. And we're very, very proud to be part of this community and looking forward to the spring.
Again, that was Bart Baker of CHS. That's all for part 1 of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part 2 coming up after this.
Farmers, meet your new hired hand. Country Financial is getting together with AgriVisor to package grain marketing and crop insurance to maximize farm income. With AgriVisor, there is finally a grain marketing management system that is dedicated to improving your bottom line. Combine it with crop insurance from Country, and you've got a winning combination. To find out more, contact your local Country agent, Wayne Schaefer, in Jerseyville. Give us a call at 498-5800.
At Carlinville Truck Equipment, they think being considerate and courteous comes with the territory. Courtesy isn't merely being polite. It means honest friendship, honest prices, and honest dealing. When they put their name behind the product or service they provide for you, they do it with pride, not just in the product or service, but in having you as a customer. For your truck or trailer repair needs, call today at 217-854-6706 or visit them online at ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, they deliver what others promise.
Hi, I'm Kristen Treese with M&M Service Company. Up until recently, the words convenient and financing didn't mix, but the FS AgriFinance program has changed that. FS AgriFinance enables you to secure financing through M&M Service Company for all your farming input needs. So not only do you save time, but your production needs and financial plans are all handled by people who understand your business the way you do. Ask about FS AgriFinance from M&M Service Company today. It's custom financing at your convenience.
How would you like to have your own lobbyist, a legislative watchdog, looking out for your interests? If you belong to Illinois Farm Bureau, you already have one, a whole staff in fact, because Illinois Farm Bureau keeps track of legislative actions, fights property tax increases, and stays in touch with Illinois lawmakers, bringing issues affecting farmers and landowners to the forefront and protecting farmers year-round in the state government. Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
We all know winter was hard this year, especially for livestock producers struggling to build up numbers after a drought. But livestock owners weren't the only ones struck with lower numbers. Beekeepers are finding that they will have to work hard to rebuild their colonies this spring. I spoke with Tim Lindley of the Tri-County Beekeepers Association.
Yeah, it is. They cluster together. They form a winter cluster in the hive, and they eat honey to survive. And they vibrate their wing muscles to create heat. Now, the cold temperatures don't necessarily affect them too much because they're all in that nice little bundle, but they have to have a lot of bees and a lot of honey and in order to survive. And last fall, going into it, we kind of out. The bees' numbers kind of dwindled a little bit. I tried to feed mine, as many of our other beekeepers did too, but the number of the bees didn't come back like we wanted them to. And so we were working with old bees, small cluster, with plenty of stores where we fed them sugar water. But a combination of that and the winter weather just wasn't very nice to them.
So it wasn't necessarily that it got too cold, but that they didn't have enough honey to kind of survive through a cold snap like that.
Right.
Sounds like a rough time. And how are you expecting this coming year to go in terms of building up a bee population?
Well, the ones that did survive are pretty weak yet, but I'm hoping to try to nurse them along. We don't usually do this, but there are package bees available from apiaries down south in southern states and in California. So bunch of us beekeepers are going together and getting some package bees ordered. When these package bees come, they come in like a 3-pound package of bees with a queen, and it's ready to start a hive, similar to what you would see out in the woods, say if you saw a swarm in the spring. And they run about, around $100. So it's not exactly cheap, but it's a one way we can recoup our numbers and try to have enough bees around to make honey this summer.
Right. What would we see as kind of an impact in the area by having bee numbers that are very low?
Probably wouldn't have that many bees to pollinate the crops like normal, and probably not as much honey produced this summer. I'm not sure if that'll affect honey prices at all, but just fewer bees for the time being.
Right. And that is important to keep in mind, that we do still need them to pollinate a lot of things around here, including the crops.
Take two hives down to the apple orchards every year. Then there's a lot of vegetable growers that rely on bees to pollinate their watermelons and cantaloupe and cucumbers and stuff like that. So, yeah, they're very important.
Well, hopefully they can get a little bit rebounded in time to help pollinate all of these crops. Tell me, you can't really hear much about bees these days without hearing about colony collapse disorder. Is that something that you guys have to worry about in this area yet?
I don't think so much. I really haven't had too much problem with that. But what I tell people in my classes that we put on from time to time, when I started beekeeping in the late 70s, early 80s, there's a lot more forage available for the bees, a lot more flowers available, and there wasn't that the pesticides weren't in such high use as they are now. The beekeeping got a lot more pests and diseases and stuff. All those factors combined is what leads to collapse disorder. It just makes it tough to raise bees anymore. It used to be pretty easy, you know, just put a hive out in a pasture or near a group of trees or whatever, and you have honey. But it's kind of hard to do with all the, there's a lot less fence rows in the area, and a lot of it's gone to agricultural, you know, where they farm corn and soybeans and wheat, and the bees don't work those necessarily. So it's kind of like a desert for them. Yeah, it's pretty tough these days to raise and maintain a hive.
I can imagine. And as I understand, you're going to be having a meeting coming up here?
Yes, the second Friday of every month at 7 o'clock at Our Redeemer Lutheran Church along Route 140 in Greenville, Illinois.
And what are you guys going to be covering at this month's meeting?
Well, this is a pretty unusual winter, as we all know. It was especially bad for the bees, and especially with the drought beforehand. Most of our beekeepers lost anywhere from 80 to 90% of their bees this year. So we're going to have to kind of figure out what we can do to recover and recoup our losses. We are assembling an order together, so if there's any other beekeepers out there that want to order packages, call me or come to the meeting tonight and place your order.
And if they would like to get a hold of you to kind of get a package bees, how do they get a hold of you?
My phone number is 618-780-3772.
Again, that was Tim Lindley of the Tri-County Beekeepers Association. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.